Okay, good morning. We're starting the new Sefer. It's called Raza de Shabbos, which means the secret of Shabbos. And it's a number of essays written by Rabbi Yisrael Eliyahu Weintraub of blessed memory. Yeah, it should be working, no?
It doesn't show with that.
No?
Oh, sorry. It's camera.
This one I didn't. I'm not going to start again, but okay, what can we do? So we see from this first paragraph of the Medrash, where the Medrash says that Shabbos had no mate, and that Shabbos would be the mate, that the other days of the week really have no compatibility. Shabbos has no compatibility to the other 6 days of the week. They're totally incompatible. That's what we talk a lot about nowadays, you know, are people compatible with each other? Right? So, you know, just like animals can be compatible with animals, a human being can't be compatible with an animal to be a mate. So, Shabbos is not compatible with the other days of the week. Only compatible with the Jew after he received the Torah at Sinai. So below the line at the bottom, footnote Aleph explains something very nice. It says, HaPerish, what does it mean, b'bnei zug? What does it mean, b'nei zug, a mate? What does a mate mean? When you have a mate, b'nei zug literally means like two together. So what does it mean, two together? So it means, d'ha'echad hu etzem adavar. The one is the essential thing. V'hasheni hu amotzi l'polos adavar. And the second one brings out the potential into reality. There's one has all the potential, but the potential alone isn't worth anything. The second one, the mate, brings out all that potential. And that's what we mean by the days are partnered. Now, do you ever figure out which day is partnered with which day? Is it 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6? Which one's to what? So we'll see it's 1 and 4, 2 and 5, and 3 and 6. Those are the mates. We see like this. The first day was let there be light. That light that was created on the first day, that was the potential. In other words, the first 3 days of creation, Hashem created the potential for all these realities. The last 3 days brings them into reality. So the first day had the potential, God said there's light. There's light in potential. The possibility of there being light exists. Hushlama asiyaso, it got finished on the fourth day, betliyas amaris yom revi, when Hashem put up the luminaries, now it harnessed that light in a way that was functioning for people. You have light, the essence of light was there, but it wasn't harnessed in a way that it could be useful. Then that light became the sun and the moon. Oh, now we've taken potential, made into reality. The second day, Hashem separated the higher and the lower waters. What began the second day, Hushma got finished, Yom Chamisha, and the fifth day, Bibriya Sadagim, with the creation of the fish. The fish is the final reality, what the water is all about. V'chein, Ha'yiros, Ha'yabosha, Yom Shlishi, the fact that you could see the third day, you're able to have dry land. That's a potential, but dry land alone isn't worth much. When on the sixth day, the animals and the human beings who will live on the earth, that fulfills the potential of the earth. So that's what it means. A shidduch means, it's very interesting, a shidduch means you have one person is a lot of potential, and the other one brings out the potential into the reality. So that's why you want to get married. A person who's not married is a person with a lot of potential, but they never get married. We don't see that potential play itself out. That's what marriage accomplishes. So Shabbos is its own day, a tremendous potential, but there's nothing to bring out what the Shabbos can accomplish. So Hashem says, the Jewish people will be your mate. After they get the Torah, they'll be your mate to bring this out. Okay. So that's something we have to understand, and that's what this whole Sefer really is going to talk about. What does that all mean? How we are married to the Shabbos. So just like you look at your marriage, if you look at it from a Torah perspective, you're trying to bring potential out from your spouse, and you're hoping your spouse will bring potential out of you. So the Shabbos, we are meant to bring the potential out of the Shabbos. So what does that mean? How does that happen? That's going to be a big discussion. Next thing, okay, now we need to look at the Siddur. When we do Kabbalah Shabbos, Friday night, the Lecha Dodi prayer, so you come to the last part of the Lecha Dodi, where we turn around and we bring the Shabbos in. So we say the words, Bo'i v'shalom ateres bala. Enter in peace, O crown of her husband. We're telling the bride to come. Gam besimcha v'tzahala, even in gladness and in good cheer. Now we come to the words right in the book now, the Sefer writes now. Toch emunei am segula, among the faithful of the treasured nation, bo'i chala, enter bride. We're telling the bride to enter into the emunei am segula, betoch, amongst the faithful of the treasured nation. So you enter those people who are believers. We're telling the kala, enter amongst the believers. So he asks a question in this piyut of Lecha Dodi where we say this. He said, "Pshut ain't a movement. The simple meaning doesn't make sense. Why do we have to emphasize the aspect of belief by Shabbos? Hare kol haTorah miyusedes al emunah. The whole Torah is based on belief. Any mitzvah you do is based on belief. Keeping kosher. If you don't believe in God, you wouldn't be keeping kosher." Right? Putting on tefillin. If you don't believe in God, you don't put on tefillin. Separating challah. If you don't believe in God, you wouldn't separate challah. So, okay, if I don't believe in God, I wouldn't keep Shabbos. So why is Shabbos unique amongst all the mitzvahs that we're focusing on this aspect of you have to be a believer for Shabbos? Because the truth is, Habakkuk, the prophet, said, if you take the whole Torah and boil down all 613 mitzvahs to one idea, all the mitzvahs to one idea, Habakkuk took all the mitzvahs and place them on one foundation, which is the tzaddik v'munaso yichya. The tzaddik lives with his faith in Hashem. So all mitzvahs are based on that. The ishkan omek nifla v'nichlas b'rinu tzvam. There's a great depth over here, and we're going to explain all this. Now, in the footnote base, he says the simple answer is that Shabbos testifies that God created the world in 6 days and rests on the seventh. That God created the world ex nihilo, something from nothing. Now that is a tremendously big insight that a human being is going to have a lot of difficulty understanding exactly, conceptualizing how that works. So you could say you need a lot of faith to believe that a God can create something from nothing. That's a simple answer. But he's going to take it much deeper over here. So these are the two aspects we're going to explore. What does it mean that we are the shidduch of Shabbos? And what does the idea of faith have to do with Shabbos? So now in the next section, he explains two very important points in Yiddishkeit. Yidua yoker inyan hatzel malakim. It is well known the preciousness of a human being in the image of Hashem. Shumashal al kol durachav yisparach, which is an analogy of all the ways of Hashem. Dugma ledover, for example, divrei chazal, the rabbis give an example. A human being is a reflection of God's conduct. God has a heavenly conduct. It's hard for us to see that conduct. A human being is meant to mirror that conduct of Hashem. That all the ways of conduct of Hashem, that all of Hashem's conduct is reflected in the mirror, which is called the human being. Look at it like this. God is the image. The Jew is a mirror. And when you look at a Jew, so let's say I look at, if there's somebody standing in front of a mirror, if I look at the mirror, what will I see? I'll see the person who's standing in front of the mirror, won't I? If the person doesn't stand in the mirror, I don't see anything. The Jewish people are like the mirror of Hashem. It's very hard for anybody to see Hashem, but you could see the mirror of Hashem. What's the mirror of Hashem? When you look at how a Jew behaves, they mirror God's conduct. And that's what a Jew is supposed to be. That's the idea of the Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem. When you put something in front of a mirror, what do you see? You see that thing. But you're not looking at the thing, you're looking at the mirror. But the mirror is reflecting that which is in its line of sight. So the whole idea is Hashem wants that his being should be reflected in this earth, on this earth. And the Jew is the mirror that reflects that. Now that is the idea of being in Hashem's image. However, there's a big condition. What could cause the image to not appear on the mirror, even though the person's standing in front of the mirror? How is it possible? Give me a scenario where it's possible a person standing right in front of the mirror and you won't see anything in the mirror. Can you think of a scenario? It's very easy. Ubitnai, the condition is she'ein davar chotzeis ben hamara lemara. There can't be anything separating the person and the mirror. What if I put a big sheet of paper in front of the person? Then I don't see the person in the mirror anymore, do I? The mirror only reflects if there's a direct line of sight. If there's something blocking it, you cannot see it. So now, a person is commanded to go in Hashem's ways. Like it says, just like he is compassionate, you are compassionate. When a Jew is compassionate, the rest of the world sees the mirror of God. I say, wow, why are you doing that? You know, I'll give you a simple example of what we're learning this week in some of the Talmudic classes. If a non-Jew would find a nice, honest Canadian who follows the Canadian law, would find a wad of unmarked bills in a little brown paper bag, $10,000 of brown paper bag, what would the law say? What would the law say?
Your turn.
No. There's no such law. You keep it. Finders keepers. No such law. There's a law against stealing. But the guy lost it. So he lost it. So there's no law. If somebody takes it, you know, you lost it, man. And certainly, you know, if you don't tell anybody, no one will ever know. There's an unwritten law. Yeah, but there's no law. There's no law. You can't put a person in jail. What are you going to charge him for? Yeah, I'm walking in the park and I see a brown paper bag with $100 bills. You look around, you take it. In Judaism, you're not allowed to do that. In Judaism, you have to make efforts to return it to the owner. Let's say even further. What if a Jew finds a little cow? Then now you have to make efforts to return the cow. You have to take care of the cow until the owner comes and finds the cow. Now that's a lot of work. And God requires Jews to do more than other people. Why? Because we have to reflect God. We have to reflect God. Now God goes way beyond the call of duty. Canadian law only requires us to be able to live civilized together. If I don't return a lost object, civilization continues. I can't rob from people. See, the non-Jewish world has laws for many reasons. One is so we don't interfere with each other. But to act, there's no laws in Canada made to the point to make you act godly. If anything, you have to separate religion from state. There's no such thing as bringing God. It's a big mistake the secular people make. If they would bring God back and insist that people act like God, you'd have the best kind of society. People would start returning lost objects. Forget about stealing. All right? So God expects us as Jews to go way beyond normal behavior because we have to reflect godliness. So when a Jew does that, and that's the famous story. Who was it? Was it Pinchas Ben Yair? Or another rabbi, Eliezer, I forgot which rabbi, famous rabbi, just slipping my mind, right? Who he sent his students to buy a donkey, and the students went, bought a donkey from a non-Jew, and they came back and they noticed that the non-Jew didn't realize there was a diamond connected to the bell of the donkey, right? And they said, Rebbe, it's your lucky day. They'll sell this, you'll have it. It was a mistake, a non-Jewish mistake. You don't have to report it according to the law. You can keep it. The guy made a mistake. It's, you know, you sold it. Right? The rabbi said, no, you give it back. They gave it back. And when the non-Jew saw this, he said, blessed is the God of this rabbi. What does that mean? This rabbi reflected God. That's our mission here, is that to bring, make God visible through us, through this mirror. So therefore, we're capable of doing a lot of things. We're on the last line now. A person is very capable of doing godly acts. Turning the page. It's a reaction to being in the mirror. If you're reflecting Hashem, you're going to do what Hashem does, plain and simple. We're all capable of doing that. However, which part of the human being is the mirror? Let's be a little bit more specific. You know, you have a mirror. Look at any mirror you have. You have a mirror, they have a frame. You got a part behind the mirror. But there's only one part is the actual mirror. Which part of the Jew is the mirror? So he says in the underline, V'hinei muvan b'pshitu shekol zu ha'adei nishmaso. This all happens through the soul. The soul is the mirror of Hashem. Shehi kishomasa basko milamala, because it's as if it hears the voice of heaven from above. And they could live through that and react that way. Now that's the mechanism. We reflect Hashem through our soul. Im kolze, still in all, im aneshama moshelas baguf v'chol toldosav. But that's when the soul controls the body. But if the soul is sinking into the abyss of the body, vaguf moshel, the body rules, and the soul is just like a visitor. The body doesn't feel any of this spiritual vibrations from Hashem. And then he becomes very far away from being a mirror. The way Hashem acts. So now, what is the contingent on us being able to reflect Hashem? Is if the mirror, if the soul can mirror back God's reality. But if we allow ourselves to have a body that is in control, then it will not be able to mirror this. This is really, what he's really talking about is everything we talked about in Tuesday's Parsha class. Tuesday's Parsha class, we talk about a free person and not a free person. It all depends on what's your vision. Do you look at what's in front of you or do you look deeper? If you look what's in front, it's the body. Then you live with the rules of the body. If you live with the rules of the soul, it's a different rules. And here becomes a very practical manifestation of this. If you're living through the soul, you'll reflect godliness. If you're living for the body, you won't. Now, let's look at God's activities in a broad sense. In other words, God does a lot of things. God is kind, God is compassionate, God is vengeful, God gets angry, God does all kinds of things. So very little deep. Those are details. But then, as we mentioned last week, there are two broad conducts of Hashem. Now, he used a little different term than we used last week, but it's the same idea. He calls it hanhagas hatachlis. It's the conduct of the goal, the ultimate goal. Hanhaga hameviel hatachlis, and the conduct that brings us to the goal. And that's what we talked about last week. We talked about hanhagas hamishpat, the justice system. And we talked about hanhagas hayichud, the ultimate unity of God's system. Where he said Hashem gives man free will choice. Hopefully man will make the right decisions to bring us to Mashiach. Right? Those are the steps that brings us to the goal. The goal will be Mashiach. So the same thing Hashem, when he rules the world in the ultimate sense of what the goal is, and then there's things that bring us to the goal. And in that aspect, in that second aspect, ubezeh yesh kam, gam kam agvan, there's many aspects of that. Yesh es hatachlis hasofi, shuakar. We talk about the final goal. We have the final goal, which is Mashiach. But even in the middle, Yeshkan for me, Kari mi Oser, there are things in the middle that are more important. Vishar Tvim, and other things less important. Yesh Mane Kodesh, there's holy days, Usmane Chol, and not holy days. Ach Klal HaKol, but when you incorporate everything, Hu Atachla Se Oser Klali, but the overall goal is what we're looking for. Asher Klapel Kulam Rakim Sim Lagilat, where everything else is just a means to that goal. In other words, Hashem wants us to get to the state of Mashiach. That's the ultimate goal. And there's a contact Hashem will have when we're at that ultimate goal. And then, you know, we're trying to get there. And there's a time where God is using His coming to get us there. And there's sometimes that it is more auspicious than others. But compared to the ultimate goal, it's all just getting you to that place. Okay, well, now you're going to see very soon, he's going to bring the critical point here. Now, he says, the creation is divided up into two revelations. Yemei Amasa, the days of work, the Shabbos and Shabbos, which is Tachlis Masha Shemayim V'aretz, which is the goal of the creation of heaven and earth. Now, in a global sense, an historical sense, Zanim Shach Vav Al-Fishnin, this takes 6,000 years. The world will go for 6,000 years. Ve'elef Hazayin, in the 7th millennia, Shaz V'niskav Hashem Levadu. The Pasuk says Hashem will be elevated all by himself. The reality of Hashem will be so clear that we know the reality when we come to Mashiach. Shem Keshezi Ma'amase, and that has been symbolized with the 6 days of creation, Vashvi Shabbos, the 7th day of Shabbos, each day being equal to 1,000 years, as we've already learned, as the Ramban says. Now, Ublamenu, in our world, Bimei Amase, when we look at the daily living that goes on in this world, on Royim Es Yecholto Yisbarach B'Kochas HaMuchashim Ba'olam Shomar Veye, we see God's force in this physical world. Every day when you look at the world and you observe, you will see God in action. You will see God doing things. When we call over Efshaliros, Od Prat Bakokalis Bakshaw. And in everything in this world, you see what God does. If you're looking carefully, if you're a believing Jew, you keep your eyes open, you will see that Hashem is doing a lot of interesting details. Lamashal, for example, the prophet says, Aryeh Sha'ad Milo Yare, when the lion roars, is there not a person who fears? You don't fear? Of course you fear when you hear the lion roar. Now what's the significance of that? Why did God create lions? They roar. It's scary. What's the main reason he created lions? Amr Chazal, the rabbi say, Du Mashal Klabe Malot, it's an analogy to what's above. Ba'aryeh Tvei Eloi, the heavenly lion. In other words, just like the lion is a powerful being and it scares you, you should know that God is more powerful than the lion. And it should be even more scary. That's why Hashem created the lion. So you should realize, from in this world, there's a God who behaves in even a greater fashion. So these are, so that's a way of appreciating what God does. Va'az ha'adam af sheyesh bo nishmas chayim shimel yom, and therefore a person, at that time, even though you have a holy soul, but Eina Margeshis is Kochi Yisbach Rach Mishum Pratimiskal. When you're in this world, even though you have a soul, we can't really feel God's power unless we see it through the details. Why? The world cannot reveal more than what it can contain. Very important idea. When Hashem created the world, he had to, by definition, conceal his reality to a great extent. Because if he would not conceal his reality, the world would not be a world. Remember, the world is called olam, holam, from the word ne'alam, which means hidden. God hides himself from the world. If he wouldn't hide himself, and he'd be so obvious in the world, there'd be no free will choice. Remember, there has to be free will choice in order for man to make decisions, for him to be rewarded for his decisions. So if Hashem has to create a world where man has free will choice, he has to hide his ultimate reality. It's all stuff we said last week. So now, but of course, in that hidden reality, he wants to reveal some of what he does. So you could get a little hint of what he does. But Hashem, the world is so finite, it can only reveal so little of what Hashem does. Because if it revealed more, there'd be no free will choice. So there we have a lion roaring. So a thinking Jew says, a lion's roaring. Can you imagine how Hashem roars? A person thinks, he said, if you look at your body, and you see that the blood system works and everything works, you begin to say, you know, who does all this? It must be Hashem is doing this. But Hashem in this world cannot hit you over the head with his ultimate greatness and power, because this world cannot contain it. Because if God would show you everything he has, then this world wouldn't be this world. This world would be blown apart. So the world, by definition, can only reveal limited quantities of what Hashem does. It's very, very, very far away what Hashem is. But by definition, this world can only reveal so little. You understand? So when you go and say, oh, you know, oh boy, oh boy, so bashir, they show Hashem this. But you know, you have to use your mind to come to these conclusions. And it doesn't like knock your socks off. Say, oh, okay, I see God was there. It's nice. But, you know, it's so nice, but can still in 5 minutes speak Lashon Hara and do an Aveira. I mean, if it was so obvious, why are you doing an Aveira right afterwards? But, okay, you know, I see a little, but that's all the world can reveal. It can't reveal more. During the 6 days, the world cannot reveal more of God than it can. It's limited. Okay, now we come to probably the most important paragraph in this whole essay, the next paragraph. When Hashem now rests, He made the world in 6 days and He rested. The truth of the matter is, He does this all the time. Every day, Hashem is working. He's working right now. He's very busy working. But on Shabbos, Hashem rests. Now, what does it mean when Hashem rests? So a person could make a mistake and think, well, Hashem doesn't do anything on Shabbos. Says, Al Tomer Mipnei She'ein Roim Shum Pa'ula. Don't say that on the day that Hashem rests, don't say, you know, it's because we don't see Hashem doing anything. And you say, well, then I guess Hashem doesn't reveal anything on Shabbos. In other words, during the week, Hashem is working, so He reveals something. Hashem does nothing, He doesn't reveal anything, you'd think, and that's wrong. He says, Allah habak, the opposite. Kan miskala yecholta yisbarach she'enu mugvelas begvuli olam. On Shabbos, Hashem reveals His power to a greater degree because He's no longer confined within the structures of the 6 days of the week. Remember, Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. When the world to come, when we come to the world to come, it's not going to be a physical world as we know it. There won't have those constraints, and Hashem can reveal Himself even more. He doesn't have to do anything. He just has to show Himself. So when the Olam Haba reality comes, Hashem doesn't have to do. Hashem just is. And that is revealed. That's what happens in the world to come. So that's the same thing on Shabbos. The same thing on Shabbos. In other words, just like we said in the past, when you go into the king's palace, the king doesn't have to do anything. We say, is there anything missing in the king's palace? Right? There's nothing missing. Nothing's created on Shabbos because there's nothing missing. Let me give you an analogy. I wrote it on the bottom here. Let's say a couple. A couple, they get married. So what do couples do? Couples spend a lot of time together and they do a lot of things together. Whatever, they play together, they can, you know, play tennis together, they can take care of the kids together. I mean, part of being married is you do things together. And by the nature of things you do together, that helps forge the relationship. And each one is showing the others how much they love each other, how much they're helping each other. But, let's say, for example, a young couple comes Saturday night. What is a young couple do? What do they do on Saturday nights? They say, oh, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Right? So the point is, okay, that's fine. But eventually, a marriage should come to the point where you don't have to do anything. You understand? When you're young, oh, let's go there. It's exciting. We'll have fun. We'll go skating. We'll do this. We'll do that. Which is all fine. It's good. It's not a problem. But, you know, so through the doing, you get closer together. But it has to come to a point eventually where you don't have to do anymore. Right? And then it gets to a point where you don't have to prove yourself anymore. It's just there. The relationship is there. It's bigger than what the doing is. So the same thing, 6 days of a week, you know, the 6 days of the week is the doing. Is the doing. But, you know, you're doing because you're trying to become something. So 6 days a week you're doing, but when are you going to be what you're supposed to be? You know, doing means we do what we do. Be means who we are. That's a very important idea. Many people spend their whole life doing, but they never become. You think about that. A man works all day long. He's working, he's doing. What for? Well, to make money. Why? To make money. Why? To buy good things. Why? So I can be comfortable. Why? So I have the strength to work more. Why? So I can make more money. Why? You get in a vicious circle. It's a vicious circle of doing, but what are you going to become from that? A person never realizes there's a goal of becoming something. So, Hashem, in the 6 days of the week, he's building a world. He's doing. But eventually Hashem says, I don't have to do anything anymore. I am God. And on Shabbos, Hashem says, I don't need to do anything to prove to anybody that I can do things anymore. All I need is for them to see me. You live, like the analogy we gave with the Baal Shem Tov. You live in a country. The king does a lot of things. And a lot of things happen in the country because of the king. The king makes laws. The king's involved. He spends a lot of time. He exerts his power and influence. And guess what happens? Roads are built. Bridges are built. Hospitals are built. Taxes are collected. The poor are taken care of. That's all that the king does. Fine. But then you get invited to eat supper with the king. The king doesn't have to impress you with what he does. He impresses you by what he is, who he is. And then you get to sit with the king, and you're with the one who is, not with the one who does. And you get a lot closer to the king by eating supper with the king than just getting some welfare checks from him or getting on a work program that he made for you. Of course, those things show he has power, shows he has power. But when you're eating with the king in the palace together with him, you are with him. And then it's crystal clear what kind of amazing guy he is. And that's the greatest manifestation of the king, is not when he does things, but when you see who he is. That's the greatest manifestation of the king. Hashem, in the 6 days of the week, he was building, doing. But he says, it's enough. I don't have to do anymore. I can just be what I am. And what happens is, the Jewish people have to reflect that. Remember, Jewish people have to reflect everything that God does. Whatever Hashem does, we're capable of reflecting, and we should be reflecting. And that's what he mentions. Let's just a little further now, in the third line in that last paragraph. That's what the rabbi said about the seventh millennium. It's called Chad Haruv, 1,000 years of destruction. What does that mean, destruction? All the boundaries of this world are broken. This world is by definition a limited world. It doesn't allow, it can't allow a lot of Hashem to penetrate. The seventh millennium is called the millennium of destruction. What are we destroying? We're destroying the barriers that don't allow Hashem to manifest himself totally. And once the barriers are released, then the pasuk says, "Vazniska Hashem levado." Hashem now is elevated by himself all alone. Umizgala kol yecholdi yisbarach, and now is revealed all his power. Shein meshubet, he's not subservient. Lechot nasan v'levar, to the nature that he created. He created a nature in this world. We have a nature every day. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. The sun provides light. Nature. Hashem made a rule, and he generally doesn't interfere with it. All of a sudden, Mashiach comes. You know, you don't see the sun, you don't see the moon, you don't see nothing. You just see Hashem, who's behind all this. Now, that's the way Hashem operates. That's the way Hashem operates. That's the same thing we spoke about last week. There's the justice system and the system of oneness. The system where Hashem says, here, you guys have the keys, you do what you want, I'll see what happens. And then Hashem says, no, but there's also, it's just me, and it's only me, and nothing more than me. But he's saying more than that. So all the week long, Hashem is doing things. He's keeping things, he's managing things. And Shabbos says, you know, I don't need to manage anything. I don't need you to see me how I affect the realm. I need you to see me as I'm in my palace, in my great state. And there, all the covers are removed. All the barriers are removed, and you get a taste of what Hashem really is. That is what Hashem ultimately does. So now, if we're meant to reflect Hashem, how does that happen? So the human being is in the image of God. That means it's the same thing. Yeshua Gam King, Beis Kochasol. We have the same two abilities. Which is, in the weekdays, how do I know I have a soul during the 6 days of the week? How do I know it? By what I do. I put on tefillin, I give charity, I speak kindly to people, I'm modest, I'm humble. You know what? You know I have a soul, but you don't see my soul. You just see what my soul is able to make my body do. It's the soul in action. But my soul is covered. With all the deals, what I do. Akoza we may amash. So that's during the days of action. But when I stop doing the action, I don't do anything. Then what happens? Now it's the time for kan nisromem gili nefesh chayishlo. Now the living soul in you must be revealed. Lahasigat smuso, for you to comprehend your essence. Shalo derech prati amaisa, that has nothing to do with individual actions. This already becomes a window into what the Shabbos is supposed to be. The Shabbos, and this is what the whole book is going to be elaborating on. A whole week, we're supposed to reflect Hashem. Everything we do, we copy Hashem. So all the details, Hashem feeds the poor, Hashem has compassion, he's busy working a whole week long, we do the exact same thing the way Hashem would do it. But then in the seventh millennium, what's going to happen? Hashem will say, I don't have to do anything anymore. The game's over. Everybody, Mashiach is here. All I have to do is present myself. The world can't absorb all that right now. They only can bring out what I do. I only could reflect a little bit. But now, you're going to see all of me. Whatever that means. The essence of Hashem will come out. And there'll be no constraints and filters to not let that come through. So human being has to replicate Hashem. So, the human being, when the good things we do during the week is a beautiful Kiddush Hashem, and people are looking at us, they're seeing a mirror, and they're seeing Hashem when they're looking at me. That's beautiful. But it's still limited as to what I see of myself. Because it's a limited reflection of what Hashem is allowing to filter into the world during the 6 days of the week. But come Shabbos, the human being is able, just like Hashem, Shabbos is the taste of the world to come. The human being doesn't have to do anything now. You don't have to do, very little, we'll see. But you don't have to go to work and make a Kiddush Hashem at work. You don't have to give tzedakah. It's a lot of things you don't have to do. You don't have to learn new Torah. During the week I have to learn Torah. I got to learn a lot of Torah. On Shabbos, you don't do. On Shabbos, you be. That's what you have to be. Here's the question. How do we define Hashem, ourselves? How do you define Hashem? Do you define Hashem by what he does or by what he is? So the question then is, how do we define ourselves? Each and every one of us. How do we define ourselves? Do we define ourselves by what I do or by what I am? I am a person who gives tzedakah? No, that's what I do. It's a nice thing that I do, but it's not what I am. What am I? I'm a portion of God on high. That's what I am. And that, you have to have time during the week to know that's who you are. So during the week, it's a big war with the Yetzirah. Because what I am isn't so clear what I am. I don't know what I am. As a matter of fact, my friends think I'm a lot of other things. My children think I'm a bank machine. My friends think I'm a donkey that just pushes the load. My boss works me to the end. A lot of people think I'm a lot of things. And they make me do a lot of things. And I can make a mistake and think I am what I do. But you are never what you do, you are what you am. Like Popeye. What was Popeye's famous line? Remember? You remember watching Popeye as a kid? I am's what I am's. Remember that line? That's what I am. That's it. Not what I do. I am's what I am's. Not what I do. Of course you do, but that's not what you are. During the 6 days of the week, we mistakenly define ourselves by what we do. Come Shabbos, and Hashem says, will you stop doing already? Now if you notice, isn't this an interesting phenomenon? There's different kinds of people in the world. There's some people who are very talented and they never stop doing. They're busy, 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 busy. And with good things. I'm not saying bad things at all. This learning Torah, doing chesed, you need a volunteer. This person's volunteering and they're busy and working and this thing and taking care of the kids and doing carpools. And beautiful. But when do they have a chance to get in touch with who they are? Which is a much more real definition of what they are. And it's the bigger part of how you're supposed to relate to yourself. So during the week, it's very hard because during the week, you're fighting with the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, believe it or not, is convincing you that you're maybe a rotten schmo. The Yetzer is convincing you want to do things that aren't very good. And now you're fighting, basically just to do what God tells you to do. Comes along Shabbos. All of a sudden, Hashem says, Shabbos has the ability for you to see who you are. To see who you are. It's not what I'm doing, but it's what I am. And that's the goal of Shabbos. You hear? The goal of Shabbos, now I'm not telling you on Shabbos you stop being a practicing Jew. I'm not saying that. But basically, you know, in theory, it's not a time for doing. It's a time for being. And that's when you see who you are much more, because then there's no constraints. Doing is very limited. It's what you do. It's a very limited way of defining the person. But then the person has to, it's a big day for meditation. And we'll see more in a minute, you know, Hashem is going to give you a lot of fine gifts that you're able to absorb. In other words, remember, you're able to reflect of Hashem only as much as the mirror allows. You have a soul that's going to reflect that. Well, that soul is very, very concealed during the week. So not a lot gets reflected. We'll see that the soul will enable you, things will happen to the soul on Shabbos, that will enable you to see much more of who you are than anything else. So this is already the first aspect. On Shabbos, this will happen after you leave this world and you go to Olam Haba, that's going to for sure happen. Now, Olam Haba, you don't do anything in Olam Haba. Nothing. You're just in a state of being. And what will you be? Whatever you became here is what you're going to be there. If you only liked watching football games and you never liked learning Torah, that's what you became. A person who's not interested in anything spiritual, so that's what you are in the next world too. Unless God makes some major, major serious changes. So on Shabbos, you have the opportunity to see who you are, not what you do. Okay, now this still needs a lot more explanation, but that already is a whole mindset. Shabbos, you have to get out of the idea of I have to accomplish. It's not a time of accomplishment, Shabbos. You have to have accomplished what you're supposed to accomplish in those 6 days. When you come to Shabbos, no more accomplishing. Now it's, let me get a view of what I am. And then when I know who I am, maybe next week I'll accomplish things in a different way if I know who I really am. So let's move on to the next page where we have to go a little bit more into this. But this is the key idea that we're going to have to keep working on and clarifying what this means, moving from the state of doing to the state of being. All right? But you see already Shabbos has to be a day that is focused a lot on meditation. Obviously you have to meditate, right? Now, certainly, what you wouldn't want to do, certainly, is talk about mundane things. Because that's what you've been doing all week long. So you gotta stay away from doing. Even in a spiritual sense, you have to stop doing. Because you have to reflect on what you've accomplished spiritually. Which we'll all, you know, explain in due time. But let's move on to the next page. So let's elaborate a little further now. Lachay, therefore. Be'olameinu ha'mugbal. In our very confined world, toch gvul ha'mamaros, within the confinements of the 10 utterances, the ma'isa brachos of Hashem creating the world, shu yisbarach amar vayeh. Remember, God created the world with 10 utterances, and I've explained in the past, utterance means God used the word, His voice, speech. We know that speech by definition is reductionist. Because whatever you have in your mind, speech only brings out what's in your mind. But speech at best can only bring about a tenth of what's in your mind can you bring out for someone else to see. When you want to explain something to somebody, at best you can only bring out a tenth that's in your mind. When Hashem created the world, He didn't want to put His whole self into the world. It would blow us apart. So He cut it down. He cut it down. He cut it down with the speech. Less and less and less and less and less, constraining more and more of his reality. So that's the world we live in. Azugam tkufas hayom lasoso. But it's also the time of you got to do. You got to do lasosam. Koshem Chazal, as a rabbi say, the pasuk says vasisem osam. It says you shall do them. So the letter osam is missing a vav. And if it's missing a vav, it could say osam or it could say lidrosh vasisem atem. Which means make yourselves. Hashem is telling man to make himself during the week. Sharam bonus aso idea sees a mitzvah. A person builds himself up by doing mitzvahs. Kumoshin lemar, and just like it says, Shazam, ha'amar vayehi, Hashem said and it became. Dorum kufa shubesom, okay, a man is in the image of God. Kiktuva al derech and hagashomale, he reacts to the conduct of above. Asher omar vayehi, just like Hashem said and did with his 10 utterances, so does human being. He says and he does. A human being creates his own reality. That's true. In the 6 days a week, you create your own reality. You have to make decisions as to who and what you are. But those are things that you are working on. Good. Ubegia Shabbos Kodesh, when Shabbos comes, Asher Shabbos Habaris Baruch Shemo Min Amaros, the Bereishis Shomar Vayi, Hashem stopped with the utterances. He stopped working. Umisromami Mahalche Anhoga, and now there's a conduct that elevates Legalas Omikichalto to reveal the depths of his ability, the Mahalech Divniska of Hashem Levado, in the path of, and Hashem is elevated by himself. That's what Hashem is doing on Shabbos. He's saying, here I am. I don't have to do anything. I'm letting you see me. So a healthy soul will react on Shabbos. So will reveal what's inside himself. That's what happens on Shabbos. Your soul is capable on Shabbos of doing more than it can do a whole week long. Your Shabbos is capable of mirroring the essential aspect of what Hashem is through you. And then he brings a beautiful words of the prophet Yechezkel to demonstrate this. Ubalashin Mikra, if you look in the book of Yechezkel, it says the following. Shar hachatzar hapnimis. There was a gateway, an inner gateway of the temple. Hapoina kodim. That was facing inward. Yesagur would be closed. It used to be closed. When? Sheshes imamasa, during 6 days of the week. There was a certain gate that was closed in the 6 days of the week. Ubiyom HaShabbos, on the Shabbos, Yiftach, it was open. Ubiyom HaChodesh, and on Rosh Chodesh, it was opened. A certain gate was closed during the week, but on Shabbos, it was opened. So what does that mean? And what is it exactly? It's in bold. It says, Shar Hapona Kadim. The Shar, the gate that faces, either you say eastward or inward, whatever. But the rabbis explain that this is all a hint. This is all a hint. It's an allegory. What's going on in the temple? Remember, the temple is a microcosm of creation. A human being is a microcosm of creation. So the temple is a microcosm of the human being. And we're saying the temple had a certain gate that was closed 6 days of the week, but on Shabbos it was open. What is it teaching us? It's teaching us like this, that there is Hanakuda Hayosa Keduma, Lifneshi Slab Shivachomini and Staris, the point that is the Kedemos means Kodem, previous, the first, the ancient, the earliest point of the human being, which is your soul, that got enclosed with all kinds of concealments, in the created world and in the creation of the human being, that core, that inner spiritual point, is covered up during the 6 days of the week. And if tachas b'shabbos, and opens on the Shabbos. You see it without any of the concealments. You get to see it the way it really is. You get to see the world the way it really is on Shabbos. You get to see yourself the way you really are on Shabbos. Who's the real you? The real you is the Holy Soul. That's inside you. That's been concealed with a body and all these other things. And if you've done Averos, it's even more concealed. So you can't really see who you are during the week, even though you're busy doing things. But on Shabbos, you can see who you are. V'chol giluya yecholto, and all the revelation of your ability, yisparach barbriya, and all of Hashem's ability, v'chol matzvei ha'alios ha'adam, and all the situations of growth of a person, him tfeim, they're all supplementary. La gilu hazet, to this revelation of what? The shar hapone kadim, the gate that opens inside. Shenifach b'zman miyuchad, it only opens at certain times. Shenefesh mufshetes min haguf, that the body, that the soul is stripped from the body. La'siga giluyim b'yacholti yisbarach l'mashad m'gulei olam, that's able to comprehend revelations of God that are also stripped away from boundaries. V'la'pniyah shadam pona l'mal l'bor yisbarach, and when the person now turns heavenlyward to Hashem, Bishtaikikus, with a yearning, lehis'alus b'tfilus ram v'teira, b'me'amaisa, let's put it this way. When you daven, you're trying to do this every time you daven, don't you? When you're learning Torah, you're trying to hit a higher spot. That's what you try to do every day in the week. But even when you're doing it, even during the week, it's still only the external of that. If you're even doing that properly. In other words, when you're living in the 6 days a week, it's an external realm. In the external realm, you could hit higher levels of the external realm, but it's still external. Because the neshama isn't totally revealed, and Hashem isn't totally revealed. So you're doing the best you can under a limited situation. But avol maracha pnimi skurbi ma'amaisa, but the inner tract, the track of the soul, really, is kind of closed during the week. Because you're zoicha misalvi ma'amaisa, but when you merit and you elevate during the weekday, then umakabel hamafter shel hashar pona kodim lepesach b'Shabbos, Hashem gives you the key on Erev Shabbos. He says, if you're a good boy, I'll give you the key and you can open it up on Shabbos and see what's really behind the door. Then that yearning and longing comes from the inner depths of what you are. In other words, during the week, it's possible for you to have a yearning for Hashem. There are times when you daven deeply and you're feeling a connection, but that is still an external connection. It's not the real thing. It's something you're wanting to do and you're acting as if, but it really isn't the deepest connection you can have. Shabbos, Hashem says, if you've been a good boy or girl, and you've really tried your hardest to do good things, I'm going to now give you the key that will let you get into the inner sanctum, where you will begin to see what I am a little more, and therefore you'll be able to see who you are a little more, and you don't have to do anything, you just need to be in touch with who you really are. Okay? So this is what Shabbos is supposed to accomplish for us. Now, we have to, and it's going to give an example of this, and to show you an example, not on Shabbos, to see that this can happen. He has to give you some idea. He said, well, you know, I don't exactly get it. So what's exactly happening on Shabbos? So he's going to use an extreme example that is not so likely, but when you see the example, you begin to understand the principle that's behind the example. Kazan Ramban, Nachmani says an interesting fact. If you look at the various animal offerings that were brought in the temple, you know, there was always brought, when you had a holiday, you brought an extra offering. That was called the Musaf. That's why we daven the prayer of Musaf. Musaf means additional. We have an additional prayer because an additional offering was brought. And when do you have a Musaf? On Rosh Chodesh, on Yontif, and on Shabbos. So every Korban Musaf, part of the Musaf offering, you brought a Korban Chatos, a sin offering. Every Musaf offering has a sin offering except for one Musaf offering, and that's the one that you bring on Shabbos. Ein b'musaf haya Shabbos chatas k'shar kol musafim. When you bring a korban musaf on Shabbos, you don't bring the chatas. There's no sin offerings on Shabbos. That's Ramban explains why. Because now we get a lot of concepts here, which we're not going to finish it all this week. We're going to have to continue next week. M'nei sheknesis Yisrael basugo. Ramban explains, you know why? Ramban's a big Kabbalist. So you know why you don't bring a korban chatas? Because Shabbos is a day that has its marriage partner, the Jewish people. Knesset Yisrael is their partner. Now the Shabbos has its partner. Vakol Shalom, everything's at peace now. Vamaskel Yavin, and one who knows Kabbalah well will understand what I'm saying, says the Ramban. Okay, now, Imki, Evshalam, and Alam, you know, we're never going to understand the depths of what Ramban means Kabbalistically. But we can at least explain a little bit based on what we've said. We already explained. There's two systems within the person. Pnimios v'chitzanios. Outward and inward. Again, go back to the Parsha class of Tuesday. We don't have to repeat it all again. First, there's an inner tract and an outer tract. The outer tract means you live with what you see. The inner tract is there's something behind all this. There's something spiritual. The physical content, the spiritual content. Okay, now, you have the two systems. Shabbos v'chol. Shabbos is the spiritual. V'chol, the weekday is mundane and physical. And the other Yisrael, let's say a Jew who is the lightest of the lightest. He's so low, we don't have the obligation to judge him favorably. You're supposed to judge Jews favorably unless he's a Russia. What if a Jew's a Russia? Jews are Russia. We're not even obliged to judge him favorably. We have to judge him negatively. So we think that's his essence. Think of a Jew in your mind that's a Russia. So you'd say, he is a Russia. turn the page. Kulo chayev. He's completely guilty. Nikam liankam yadua, but it's well known, we know. Dibishas hashmad, when there were times of religious persecution, masru nafsham afilu posh Yisrael mamish, that even the biggest sinners would give their lives away. Sha'ad oz hayunidon b'halacha k'rasha b'chalmasav, until the moment of truth, he was judged in halacha like a rasha. V'hivkir kol kvodi yisbarach hashlam b'shvil rasasmo. Until this point, anything that Hashem wanted was not important to him. What's Hashem is nothing. I want to eat treif. I want to do this. I want that. What do I care about Hashem? Until that moment. But then at that one moment where Hashem says, they say, give up your religion or you die. He gives up the whole world for God. How do you explain that? How do you explain that phenomenon? He says, Dabar Zeh Biru, Bali Musar HaKavnonim, the early rabbis explained, Deboimek HaNefesh Pnim, if you go deep, deep down into the Russia has a godly soul. Yesh Nekuda Meromemes, there is a lofty point. Shayna Musugali, pardon me, Mani Yisbarach, that God will never leave that lofty point. Ula Hafsido Sotvekos, and to lose that bonding to Hashem. Meaning to say, no matter how bad the Jew is, he may have done bad things, but he still is a holy Jew. His essence is holy. He doesn't know it. Remember, we're not what we do. We are what we are. So I am a Russia, because Russia is based on actions. You're a Russia on the outside. But on the inside, you're a holy Jew. I go? No? Yeah, one more time? No. Okay. So you're a holy Jew. You know, who are you? It's that point of the Jew of who you are needs to be able to express itself. So what you do wrong in the 6 days of the week may be mistaken. But when you get to the who you are, you can't deny who you are. The only thing the Rosh is missing is he doesn't know who he is. If you introduce him to himself and he realizes that he is a holy Jew, he realizes he can't do these bad things anymore. That's all that's missing. That's all that's missing. And that's how the mystics explain this week's parsha. We read about the machatzis shekel, the half shekel coin. So the rabbis say, if you look at the word machatzis, write the word out. Right? Write it out. You have a mem and a ches. Write the letters out. Mem, ches, sadi, yud, saf. Five letters. Machatzis means half. Right? The first, now let's look at the letters on the outside. The first letter and the last letter, the outside. First letter is a mem, the last letter is a saf. That means mace, dead. A Jew could look at himself and think he's spiritually dead. I'm not a good Jew, I'm dead. Okay, let's peel away the external layers. Let's take away that mem, let's take away that saf, and let's look at the next letter. The next letter, the second letter is a ches. The second last letter is a yud. That spells chai. You're alive, man. You're not dead. But let's even go more. Let's peel away those letters. Let's go to the core. The core is a tzaddik. You're a tzaddik. You can't deny who you are. You might want to believe what you do, but you do the things that are Russia, but you are a tzaddik. So what was missing? What was missing is you didn't realize it. And that's what continue. It says, the Yisrael and a Jew. Ava pi shechata, Yisrael who? Even though a Jew sins, he's still called a Jew. V'nivir l'gavir reveka, says Ubi Yisrael. You never lose this attachment to God. The core of who you are is always connected to God. It's never gone. Ava kol zman shel yigil and yisrael shel shma. But since you never got tested with this religious persecution, so the Yetzer Hara was dancing all around you. As he scabbard loved Tavos of Nishol. So all your lusts were jumping around and overcame you. And you became a slave, an Eved Ivri, a slave to your lusts. However, Berega Shaloch Hatzimah Lov Lachriya, but when the Christian comes along and he presses you to make a decision, this is it. Give up your Yiddishkeit now. Become a practicing Christian now. We're not letting you just dance around saying you're Jewish and acting like a goy. We want you to give it up. Only share David by Yisparach with Messiah. Now show Allah the Netzach. Either state your claim your Jewishness or give it up. At that point, the guy says, listen, I'm not prepared to give up who I am. I'm a Russia, but I'm not going to give up who I am. As Mafker covered Sonasov, Umavav, he lets go of all his personal desires. Rakli Shara David Baris Baruch Shemo, only to connect Hashem. When you press the soul, then the natural reaction comes out. But it only can be pressed when they say, go give it away. When you do Averis, you're not thinking about giving away your soul. But the guy says, go give away your soul. That already is another story. The person's not prepared to give away his soul. Now that part of you, that part of the soul, that does not ever lose its attachment to God, he says in the next paragraph, Nekuda zeh nikreis b'chazal Knesses Yisrael. That part is called Knesses Yisrael. That's called the congregation of Israel. That part of you that does not, the essence of your soul, that will never separate from Hashem, that's called the Knesses Yisrael. That's called the congregation of Israel. As the Nefesh HaChaim explains in a footnote, it's also called Yerushalayim Shalmala. It's called the Jerusalem above. Shasham kol musag achayim rak tvekus, because there the only understanding of life is cleaving to Hashem. Unakudasu hiskalsa ba'es hashmat gizal. And that point gets revealed when there's religious persecution. Because of the test, they're pressing the soul to decide. Therefore, it activates its going against that. And it reveals the ultimate response that really is inside the Jewish soul. That's what it means. That's the example. In other words, we're giving you an example under religious persecution. A Jew all his life didn't believe in Yiddishkeit, didn't believe it was a Russia. But when push comes to shove, he says, I'll die a Jew. Because that's when the point came out. So you don't have to wait till you die for that point to come out. That's what the Medrash says. That's when that gate opens up. That gate opens up. Where there you see the king. You really see the king on Shabbos. And you see that point where Hashem really clings to the creation. You see how much Hashem really is. What he really is. Not what he does. What he is. So the soul reacts the same way because she has faklari l'chol derech anegas Hashem, because it's the mirror. It's the mirror. It's just mirroring what Hashem is. Hashem is saying, this is what I am. So your soul does the same thing. This is what I am. What am I? What am I? A soul that wants what? Lios davak rak lo yisbrach, that only wants to cleave to Hashem. V'zeu k'neses Yisrael yu ben zugav. That's what the Medrash says. The congregation of Israel is the mate of Shabbos. It doesn't say Yisrael, Knesses. Knesses means the gathering. When the Jews came to Yerushalayim, they all got together. What's a Beis HaKnesses? A Beis HaKnesses is a house of gathering. Jews come. What do you do when you come to? What did we do when we came to the temple? God revealed himself in the temple. The temple is where all the Jews came. They gathered together. Where they all got to what? See what Hashem is, not what Hashem does. So that part of you that feels that connection to Hashem, that part is called Knesses Yisrael. Knesses means to enter. Knesiyah, to enter. You now enter a closer reality of Hashem. But during the week of Obimea Maisa, during the weekday, Ein Ben Zuv Yishav, Shabbos doesn't have a mate. Because we can't live under those circumstances normally. That's what it means. The Jewish people are the mate of Shabbos. Shabbos is the day where Hashem's essence is revealed. What he is, not what he does. And that does not have a mate in the 6 days of the week. The 6 days of the week only can show what does, not what is. So the Shabbos says, I'm very lonely. I have nothing that's compatible. So Hashem says, you wait. The Jewish people, they are my mirror. And when Shabbos reveals the essence, it will find a compatible spouse, which is who? The Jew, who will reveal his essence. And just like we say, what does the spouse do? It brings out that which is laying dormant. The Shabbos is dormant. The Shabbos really will only be appreciated when you have Jews who sit around doing nothing. And then the Shabbos is able to be brought out in the way it's most beautifully appreciated. So that's, I'll just say outside the last paragraph on the next page. That's what Ramban meant when he says on the Pasuk that Hashem blessed the Shabbos and made it holy. Is if you understand what the rabbis say, that the Knesset Yisrael is the partner of Shabbos. You understand the idea of Shabbos having what we call a Nefesh Yisrael, an extra soul. We say Shabbos, you have an extra soul. What does it mean, have an extra soul? So this extra soul means that being able to feel the inner point of your connection to Hashem, where the person really feels how close he feels to Hashem, and that doesn't go away. That taste doesn't get lost. Right? He sees himself at that moment only wanting dveikus, and that will never be lost. Now we understand why Kabbalah Shabbos we say, Bo'i chala, toch emunei am segula. Come amongst the believers of the chosen people. What does it mean? It doesn't mean just say we are believers in God. It doesn't mean that at all. Look what he says. He says, it's not talking about b'muna shi'a basi z'chol si'a mitzvah ma'isa, ela b'anakuda ha'pnimi. We're talking about that inner point of being the maid of Shabbos, that dveikus, that cleaving. Toch emunei am segula. The kala goes inside those faithful ones of the chosen people. It goes inside those who want to be close to Hashem. Toch emunai, those who believe that they have this attachment to Hashem. Shabbos isn't going to, is that just those who believe in Hashem? Shabbos doesn't enter those who believe in Hashem. You can believe in Hashem and be busy doing a whole Shabbos, you're still not there. You have to believe that you have this ability to cleave, to feel this closest to Hashem. That's the emunai. Toch emunai, am sugula, inside, among the faithful of the treasured nation, means that we feel that closeness to Hashem. That's where the Shabbos enters. We say, come Shabbos, come into where? Come into those who believe in the beautiful closeness of Hashem. If you're able to taste, this is the trick that you don't feel during the week that you can feel on Shabbos that most of us have not felt. This is why it's a big avod, it's a big work to be able to be on such a level where you on Shabbos, you really are feeling, you're experiencing who you are, and what you are is a person that is attached to Hashem. It's like finding your lost lover. The whole week long you're trying to find true love. And all of a sudden on Shabbos, there she is. Where have you been all my life? She says, I've been in your house the whole day. You never bothered to look at me. It's a guy who thinks his wife isn't a good wife and tries to play the field. And then one day he realizes his wife is the one who loves him more than anything else. And he loves her more than anything else. He's busy doing all kinds of things to impress everybody else. And realize the one who really loves you more than else is your wife. And then now I see, well, what kind of Irish guy? What was I thinking? Because it wasn't revealed. Hashem reveals, opens up the gate. Hashem says, you can really see who I am, how much I love you. And then you can really see how much you really love me. And that's the Toch Emunai Am Segula. That's the only way of keeping Shabbos. Is to have that feeling, I'm not what I do, but I am what I am. What am I? I'm a godly soul who wants nothing more than to connect to Hashem. That is, now hopefully when we do mitzvahs a whole week long, that is reflecting of what we really are. But we don't sense that. We only sense what we do. And since it's not a clear vision, the Yetzer Hara will tell us a whole bunch of other things to do. And a whole week long we have to fight like crazy just to do the right thing. But if you would see the reality, you wouldn't have to fight. As we'll talk about next week. That's why Shabbos is not a day to fight with your Yetzer Hara. You shouldn't be fighting with your Yetzer Hara. How could you fight with your Yetzer Hara when you really realize that it's a narishkeit? If you see Hashem so clear, then it's not an Irish kid anymore. So this is what it means that we're the Shidduch of Hashem. We are the Ben Zug of Hashem. We're the Ben Zug of Shabbos. Shabbos is when Hashem is revealed what He is, not what He does, and we're capable of doing that. When we do that, that is what the compatibility of what we have with Shabbos is. Okay, we'll continue this next week. We'll explain next week the whole idea of eating good food on Shabbos, about, you know, what kind of prayers we have and why there's no such idea of evil on Shabbos. Those all become manifestations of this primary point.